If all else fails, a strategy that I have loved is to tell them that someone above you is putting pressure on you to run small groups since it's part of your role. So it doesn't matter who that someone is. It can be me. Make me the bad guy. Tell your people that somebody is telling you that since small group counseling is a part of your role, you need to be trying to implement it. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. When polling the people of the Instagram world, as I like to do, many of you high school counselors have big dreams of implementing small groups in your high school setting and in your high school counseling program, but that's all they end up being. I want to help you start your small group counseling program, whether it's from scratch or not. I want to give you some ideas for starting those programs because there are so many factors that get in the way, from scheduling them into your own calendar to finding time in your student schedules. That is so hard in the high school setting, to getting admin and teachers to buy in instead of railing you for missed educational time. And the list goes on and on. Need I say more? So for those of you who are still trying to be scrappy about ways to get small group counseling going in your school, maybe this is just the pep talk or inspiration that you need to get it going. You're in the right place, and I know you're going to walk away with some practical strategies and tips and ideas for starting your high school counseling small groups in your school. So let's get started. Here are three ideas for starting high school counseling small groups from scratch. Number one, make sure your staff understands your role. This is something that I want to shout from the mountaintops. If you have been here for any bit of time, you know that I care a lot about advocacy of your role. So you have to have your staff and your stakeholders understanding your role if you want their buy-in to host small groups as part of your program. Tell them that you have mindsets and behaviors. They're just like the standards that teachers have, and that small groups are a part of that role. I bet your teachers don't know this, and if they do, it might change their mindset towards you. If you're saying, hey, this is part of my job and my governing body is requiring that I serve students with small groups, then they might not have as much pushback. When you tell people out loud what your role is and that small group counseling is a piece of that role, you acknowledge that it's something you actually have to do. It's a new level of accountability. When you're explaining to people the types of things that are involved in your role as a high school counselor and small group counseling becomes a part of that, you know it's supposed to be on your plate, and maybe people are going to ask you questions about it. Maybe students are going to ask what small groups are running this semester. So as you're introducing yourself in your school, whether it's to faculty or to students, or you get a one-on-one with admin, make sure that they know that small groups are a part of your role. If you're nervous to say that because you've never done a small group before, maybe that's the sign that you need. It is time to be out of your comfort zone. If all else fails, a strategy that I have loved is to tell them that someone above you is putting pressure on you to run small groups since it's part of your role. So it doesn't matter who that someone is. It can be me. Make me the bad guy. Tell your people that somebody is telling you that since small group counseling is a part of your role, you need to be trying to implement it. So use me as the bad guy. Use me as the scapegoat and say, somebody told me that I need to be doing this because it's part of my job. Keep teachers in the know. This is huge for having your staff understand what you're doing and what you want to accomplish and what your goals are. So these are your main stakeholders for these students in this setting. Value their input. Ask what they think. Ask what issues they're seeing in their classroom, because you might have the keys to solve these problems for them. Ask about their students' progress in class. And then after you run the small groups, follow up with data and pictures and stories. I always found that when teachers heard these success stories and saw the growth and put a face with a name, they were excited to hear about how our small groups were going. So I would stand at a faculty meeting and say, hey, these are our goals for the semester, or these are our goals for the school year, so that when we came back later, even if we didn't meet those goals and we tried something, they were appreciative because they understood what our role was and how we were serving students in ways that they only dreamed of having time to serve students. So teachers have so much on their plate. We all know this. Counselors have so much on their plate. But when we do our individual roles like we're supposed to and we stay in our own lanes, students are different because of what we're doing, and in all the best ways. Looking to get started with some high school counseling small groups, but not really sure what activities to use? Head to my TPT store and browse some of the high school counseling small group materials that I have in there. Maybe you want a piece of one of those groups first to see if it's a good fit for you. Go to counselorclick.com/stress freebie to download a piece of my stress management small group. It'll come right to your inbox and you'll be able to see if it's a good fit for you. If you're going to be starting small groups from scratch and you're wondering where to even begin, I want you to set up a framework from the beginning that you are going to use data in all aspects of your small groups. Small groups are the perfect place to grab and compile and share data from. So especially when counselors are like, how do I use data in my program? How do I create a data-driven program? That's like big picture. I want you to zoom in and think small groups are the key to providing data that shows how students change because of what I do. So use it before you even put your groups together as you come up with ideas of what small groups you want to run or validate your own ideas based on your observations in the school. Put out a needs assessment and see what comes of it and then act on it. Another way that you can use data with your small groups is to observe or just take informal polls from students as you're doing classroom lessons. As you're telling students about your role when you're in your classroom lessons, or you're in there doing a lesson completely about something different, like academics or something, you can sprinkle some stuff in there about the first generation small group that you did because you're talking about college, or you can sprinkle some things in there about the stress management group that you did because everyone's stressed about what they're going to do in their post-secondary life. Start planting seeds of small groups, whether that's in an individual meeting with a student or in the classroom setting, so that when you put out information about small groups, it's not the first time that they're hearing about it and it's something familiar. It makes it easier to reference back to once you get started. When you start using data and you find success in your small group counseling program, it is so natural to take that, to compile it, and then share it with others. It makes what you're doing way more meaningful. And isn't that your goal of everything that you're doing anyways? Tip number three is to just go ahead and plan on sharing your results. As you're starting your small group, I want you to remember from the beginning that you're starting with the end in mind. You want to have something to show for it at the end. I would hate for you to go through the whole small group and not be able to show how students are different because of what you're doing. If you just got to the end and thought, hey, this was a good time, but you have nothing to show teachers or admin about the time that you were spending with students, especially while they were out of class, you're probably not going to get the okay to do it again. So from the beginning, think about what you can share when you get to the end or where you can share it. Can you share it at your advisory council if that's something you do twice a year? Because then you're going to want to be intentional about when you put these small groups on your calendar, whether you give an update at the advisory council or you finish a small group and you have real results to share with them at your advisory council. That might be something to think about as you put all of those things on your calendar. Because if you're like me, you're probably just doing 2 to 3 advisory council meetings a year. Maybe you have some parent info meetings coming up, and at that meeting where you have captivated parents, you want to be able to speak about the small groups that you have coming up. So you're going to need to be prepared and already have your needs assessment kind of going, or have your needs assessment ready to put out so that you can push that out to parents to tell their students. So you're going to want to think about the timing of all of these things. Another place that we already discussed to think about sharing your results would be on your website or social media. Of course, consider what the group is and what types of data you want to share and if that's okay with students. You know, I think you have to be really careful about what you're sharing. I would not share anything personal. I probably wouldn't share pictures on websites or social media, but I might just say we just wrapped up our 3rd stress management small group of the semester. If you're interested in hearing more, reach out to your counselor. Like, that doesn't necessarily have to be results. That can just be a promotion of what you're doing inside your program. Use a small group counseling spreadsheet to collect data and get ready to share with anyone who's willing to listen. You can use this spreadsheet that I've created with any small group, not just the small groups that I have. You can add it to whatever small group you're already running and use it to compile your pre- and post-test data and I'll link that in the show notes. What do you hope that your data accomplishes? Do you want more buy-in from your teachers after they hear about your small group? Do you want monetary support from parents? Do you just want camaraderie and teamwork from your teachers and your admin to feel like, hey, we're all on the same page for students? Decide what that is. If you're looking for respect from admin, use the opportunity that you have with your results from your small group to push that out and have them understand your role. This is so key. People respect data, especially administrators. Use that data in compelling ways. Take the data and make it a memorable experience when you share it out to all of your stakeholders. I want you to remember your why. Why are you a high school counselor? Why are you running small groups in the first place? Do you want to make a bigger impact on students and love your job more? Small groups can make a huge impact on your job satisfaction. They'll help you bring energy and life back into your role because you're actually working with students and you get to see them grow and change. I hope that these three ideas for starting high school counseling small groups from scratch get you motivated to put some small groups on your calendar this semester. Those three ideas again for starting high school counseling groups from scratch are: make sure staff understands your role, use data in all aspects of your small group, and then plan to share your results from your small group with the people who are willing to listen. If you want to use some ready-made small groups as your next step, pop on over to counselorclick.com/groups to preview or shop my high school counseling small groups. I already did the work of creating them for you. If you like these three ideas, why don't you go ahead and share them with three friends? Most people find new podcasts because of word of mouth. Who do you know that needs to hear about high school counseling conversations? I'd love if you sent them to counselorclick.com/podcast, or you just told them to search wherever they listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at CounselorClick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.